Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we are meditating on the Sermon on the Mount, and especially the initial part of the sermon, the part we call the Beatitudes. And we are basing our study and reflection on the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew, who has presented the teaching of Jesus in a very systematic way. And the entire message, the good news, is presented as if in a nutshell in what we call the Beatitudes. And we have started analyzing the first Beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The parallel look we have, blessed are you poor, yours is the kingdom of God. And we have seen the various aspects of the poor. But there still remains one more aspect to reflect on. The poor in spirit. In Luke, it's without any qualification, thokos, the poor, the oppressed, the exploited, the totally dependent, the marginalized, the persons who are reduced to the status of beggars, who have to entirely depend upon the mercy of others for their very survival. And this has been taken and transformed in the Gospel of Matthew as the poor in spirit. Is there a great difference between the two expressions of Luke and Matthew? In Luke, it is said the poor, and the emphasis falls on the very situation of being poor. But if you reflect on this, and why does Jesus say, blessed are the poor, because yours is the kingdom of God, what does it, does Jesus mean that the state of being poor is a happy one? Is he encouraging people to become destitutes? Of course, Jesus is asking people to share. Share from their wealth so that everybody would have sufficient. He is not idolizing. He is not making an ideal of poverty. He is telling something else. The poor people who have been exploited, marginalized, will be given the kingdom of God. It is a gift God is giving gratuitously. If you reflect further on it, the situation of the poor is so helpless, utterly helpless, that they can depend on no human being except God. Only on God they can depend. Nobody would respect their rights. Nobody would redeem respond to their demands. They cannot make any demand on others. So in their utter helplessness, the poor, the tokoi, depend on God, only on God. And this is what Matthew has taken up. So in the heart of this concept of being poor, there is the aspect of depending on God. One is not attached to the wealth of the world. One does not depend on material wealth. One does not count on the help of anybody else. They totally depend on God. And it is to these people who totally depend on God, Jesus is addressing the Beatitude. So, in the Gospel of Matthew, a Beatitude would be explained in this way. The blessed is the one who depends on God. Blessed is the one who knows of the need of God. So the poor are the poor in spirit, are those who know the need of God. Whatever they have, whatever they are, comes from God. Without God, they are nothing. Without God, they can do nothing. Whatever they have comes from God. It can be taken away. Their health, their wealth, the popularity, beauty, even life. All was given, all is given as a gift. And it can be taken away. So this realization of the total dependence on God and his gratuitous grace is what we call the spiritual poverty. So the poor in spirit, according to Matthew, is the one who depends on God. In fact, this is what poverty meant, or the poor meant in the Old Testament. Initially, there was an emphasis on the material poverty, material and social poverty. So, for example, the people of Israel who were in Egypt, who were slaves of Pharaoh, they did not have anything of their own. They did not have freedom. They did not have a name. They were not a nation. They had nothing. All that they had belonged to the Pharaoh. So that was utter poverty. And from there, they were chosen, they were selected, they were liberated, and they were carried to the promised land. So gradually, the concept of poverty changed into that of a dependence on God, the realization that all they have, whatever they are, is a gift of God. And this spiritualization of poverty continued during the exile and later. When they were led into captivity, they again realized that whatever wealth they had accumulated during the monarchy was all lost. They lost their monarchy, they lost their king, their temple, their country, and again reduced into slavery. There again, the aspect of poverty came to the front. But then, the attitude of dependence on God became clearer. So Israel was a people who depended totally on God. And these people who depend on God, they are called the poor of Yahweh, Anavim Yahweh. The ones who put their trust entirely in God. Only in God they hope. Only from God they expect a liberation. This attitude made them humble. This attitude made them holy ones, totally dependent on God. And they developed a group of people among Israel, especially after the exile, and especially during the New Testament time, the people called the poor of Yahweh. And as representatives of this poor of Yahweh, we see the Qumran community, the Essenes of Qumran. They considered themselves as the poor of Yahweh. And there were also other people who took up voluntary poverty for the sake of the kingdom of God, to prepare themselves for the coming of the Messiah. The Qumran community was in the desert near the Dead Sea, on the western shore of the Dead Sea in the place called Qumran. There they came, there they settled in the desert, abandoning everything, preparing themselves for the coming of the Messiah. So they were the poor of Yahweh. They had nothing else to depend upon except God. So this aspect of spiritualization was already there when Jesus speaks this beatitude. We know, for example, the life of John the Baptist, who spent most of his time in the desert. From the childhood on, he was in the desert, it is said, frugal life, clothed in camel skin, and eating wild honey and wild fruits in the desert. It's an attitude towards material wealth. And when Jesus comes to the front, Jesus appears, even though as a person who eats and drinks, a person who had a workshop, as a carpenter's workshop, but when he started the public ministry, he abandoned everything. In such a way, he could say, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So Jesus presents himself as the ideal poor. And this is what Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, writes about the poverty and wealth. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 and 10. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. Though he was rich, he became poor. a voluntary poverty, voluntarily taken up poverty. That is the poor in spirit. That's what Matthew explains, the poor in spirit. The same thing is explained in the letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. Jesus Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He was born in a manger, laid in a manger, not in a house. And during the lifetime, he depended on others, especially when he started his public ministry, preaching ministry. And he died on a cross and was laid in a tomb that did not belong to him. A person who did not possess anything. A totally liberated person, a totally poor person. So when Matthew tells us, as Jesus' beatitude, blessed is the poor in spirit, we have Jesus as the model of spiritual poverty. And here we have yet another aspect that Matthew is focusing attention on. So the poverty of the spirit, that means depending totally on God. One who realizes that whatever he has or she has comes from God. So this makes a person detached. One is not attached to the worldly goods, to the material wealth. The wealth, even if a person possesses and uses the wealth, it is as if it did not belong to him. Jesus tells the disciples, go and sell what you have and distribute to the poor. We know not all the disciples sold everything they had. We know Joseph of Arimathea or Nicodemus or Lazarus and many others who somehow helped the mission, the Jesus movement, with their property. They did not claim anything to be their own. They did not claim an exclusive possession of their private property. They did not close their gates to the poor and needy. They did not exclude the disciples from their house. So it was open. They accepted it with an open heart, open hand, and they shared it. So this is what Jesus is telling. The one who opens himself to God, the one who does not put his trust in passing material wealth, he is the happy one. So this is what later on the disciples of Jesus understood. And this is how the preaching of the disciples gave rise to the community. For example, in the Acts of the Apostles, we see the first community, how it develops. In chapter 2, verse 42 and following, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, the fellowship, and the breaking of bread and prayers. All came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together, and all had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with the glad and generous hearts. So this is a kind of sharing that make them available, make them depend on God. So the poor in spirit are those who depend totally on God, who realize the need of God, accepting Jesus' proclamation. Disciples somehow started sharing everything with others. And that's what later on became the community of the religious. We know today religious communities, especially those who take the main major three vows of poverty, obedience, and celibacy or chastity. The people who take the vow of poverty, is a voluntary acceptance of poverty. It's a voluntary accepting to be poor. And this is to be a sign before the world. To live the beatitude as Jesus promised. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who do not attach themselves to their wealth. Blessed are those who do not cling to property. Blessed are those who are ready to risk everything, abandon everything, sell everything, give to the poor, and depend totally on God. We know the religious orders, especially the mendicant orders, how they started. They started without anything. They started depending entirely on the mercy of others, be it Dominicans or Franciscans, like Francis of Assisi and his disciples, who went around begging and living from this, what they received as gift, and sharing whatever they had with others. So by this way, they were proclaiming to the world that we believe in a world that is yet to come. We believe in the kingdom of God. We believe in God who provides. And that's what Jesus said. Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Don't attach yourself to the wealth. It is foolishness to put your trust in passing wealth. As he later on said the parable of the rich fool, a person whose field produced much grain and harvest. And he was wondering what to do with this because he was so wealthy. So he said, I'll pull down my granaries and build up new ones and gather everything in my granaries, treasure house, and tell my soul, eat and drink and be happy because you have so much wealth accumulated. And this is what Jesus tells is foolishness. To put one's trust in accumulated wealth is to put oneself outside the providence of God. Fool, tonight your life will be demanded. You are going to lose your life today or tonight. And whose will be all those you have accumulated? So it is foolish to put one's trust in wealth. So Jesus is telling, blessed is the one who does not put his trust in the accumulated wealth, but puts his trust in God. So the poor in spirit is one who trusts in God, one who is not anxious about tomorrow, one who is ready to take up voluntarily the sort of the poor, the one who is ready to share everything he has with those who do not have. So spiritual poverty does not somehow allow a person to become materially rich. It does not mean whether you are rich or poor. What is important is your attitude. Of course, the attitude is important, but also one's physical, material being. Wealth. Wealth is to be distributed. The Bible has an understanding, especially based on Jesus' teaching, that material wealth is not to be considered as a private property. Nobody is an owner of any of the wealth he has. He is only a manager. The person is entrusted with wealth that he can distribute to those who are in need. So in this beatitude, when he speaks about blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus is calling upon us to put our trust entirely, totally on God. Trust in the God who provides for us, who feeds the birds of the air, who clothes the lilies of the field, who cares for his children who we are. So when we can trust, we can put our trust in God, then we can be happy. Otherwise, however much wealth one may have, it will not bring happiness. It may bring some pleasure for some time. It may bring a sense of illusory security, but true security, true peace and happiness does not come from accumulated wealth. So when we read, when we study, when we meditate on the first beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus is asking to choose our priorities. In whom do we trust? Who will give us security? Who will guarantee our life and happiness? Only God. So we thank God with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for enabling us to trust in you, for allowing us to call you Father. Heavenly Father, we thank you for providing for us, for promising us that you will not allow us to go in want, that nothing will be lacking for us. Enable us to put our trust entirely on you and not on the passing riches of the world. Blessed are the poor in spirit, you said. Enable us to understand and to accept this poverty, this total detachment from earthly, worldly goods, and total surrender, dependence, attachment to you. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord.